Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
I'm Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Captain Podtastic. I'm Elton Jim Toronto. This show goes from the end of the web to your screen, as we are on WGNplus.com here. Episode 3. I'm digging this. I'm liking the format. It's only an hour, which is very tough for me, because if you have listened to me at all over the last several years, you know that I have a tendency to pontificate and talk a little too much. That's why I'm in radio. Hey, when I was in school, I always got very good grades. Very good grades. The problem was, you remember that little part on the report card underneath where it said behaviors? And there were all little things. I mean, if you're tardy or if you, you know, you do little things wrong. Mine was always checked with other. And it said, like having Jim in the class, but he talks too much. And by getting those from first grade through eighth grade, I realized, well, if I talk too much, maybe I can make a living out of it. Who does that? And sure enough, it was the guys on the radio. So that's basically, by age 12, I was ready to go. But anyway, enjoying the podcast format, the hour. It's going to continue to expand, but I appreciate you for listening up to this point. This is episode 3, and I'd love to get your input. Can't talk to you live, obviously, but you can reach me via my Facebook page, which is at Jim Toronto, T-U-R-A-N-O, and please friend me. But at the very least, if you listen to the shows, I have no problems with you putting a post, whether you like it or not. Any kind of comments, commenting on the topics that I might be talking about, send me an email or put them up on the actual page itself. I always say I'd rather have people criticize me than not care at all. In fact, I was the first episode I did, I talked about my acne stained picnic table, and lo and behold, I got an email from somebody that I went to high school with, played baseball with on the team. Haven't seen this guy probably in 30 years. And he says, hey, has anybody helped you with your picnic table? Because I've been doing wood restoration for 30 years and I'd love to help you. So there you go. The power of the podcast. So please, by all means, if you are a regular listener up to this point, it's only been 3, but I appreciate your participation and would love for you to participate even more with any kind of comments you have. And this show will continue to evolve and expand. I'm just getting my podcasting sea legs at this point. Just want to get used to the format, but hopefully going to be doing more different things, have a few more guests or some other interesting kinds of concepts to play with, because radio is, in my view, one of the best mediums there is, and you can do a lot of things with it except just sit there and talk. And so as this podcast continues to grow and evolve, I'm going to try to bring in as many different kinds of creative aspects to that as possible. But for right now, as I said, just want to just lay the foundation. If you've known me from the past, you'll know that this show is basically an extension of what you've been hearing for the last several years on WGN. If for whatever reason you've never heard it before, it's a good chance for you to get to know just what the heck Elton Jim is all about, and who is this guy, and why do I find him interesting? Hopefully you do. So that's where we're at right now. And as I said, we're going to go right away, I think. Why should I even bother to wait here? Let's just get right into it. I'm going to cue Mike, my producer, for my little intro music.
Olé, 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 olé. Olé, 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 olé.
So, yes, sir! Buster Poindexter, you remember? The funny thing, that was David Johansen, who was the lead singer of the New York Dolls back in the 70s. If you remember, he played the cab driver in Scrooged. But he was also this guy. In the 80s, he played a character called Buster Poindexter. He had a few couple of popular albums. This was a huge song. And speaking of hot, 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 okay, I need your help here, folks. And this is just one of the other misadventures of Elton Jim. And if you listen on a regular basis, you will come to see that. It seems like almost every week I have a misadventure, which is great, which is not so much fun to live with, but which is certainly good for material for a podcast. So I'm suffering for your benefit, for the benefit of entertainment. I will trudge through this thing we called life and through all these misadventures to entertain you, because that's who I am. So maybe you can help me out or just sit back and scratch your head. Okay, so Saturday, I decide to binge watch the new season of House of Cards, which came out probably, I think, in March sometime. I don't have Netflix. I don't believe it's possible. How could this be possible? How could you just turn on a station and every TV show or movie in the world is there? I remember my dad saying that he didn't believe that cable television was possible. I'm finding out that my dad, when I was growing up, I thought my dad wasn't very with it. But as I get older, I realize the man was a genius. Because as I get older, my dad is now starting to think like I am. Yeah, the man's a genius. Anyway, so I decide to binge watch. We're going to watch House of Cards. So it's 13 episodes. Each one is 45 to 50 minutes. And we're going to watch all 13 in one day. So we get to my friend's house at 10 a.m. for a 10:15 start time. And we've got, if you've done the binge watching thing, whether you do it at home or you do it at somebody else's place, you know that there are, you know, certain things you have to have. So we brought our share of food and he had his share of food and we're all ready and we staked out our places and the couches and the chairs because this is where you're going to be for the next 13 hours watching Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright. And I must say, as a side note, I thought the current season 4 of House of Cards was very good, very, very good, until around episode 10. You had me and you lost me. They went into some terrorism kidnapping plot and all the cool behind-the-scenes intrigue of the politics and all the personalities that make that show so great. It to me, the last three episodes, 10, 11, 12, actually four, 10, 11, 12, 13, it felt like, you know, a so-so episode of Homeland. It's like I've seen that already. When I want Haas's Cards, I don't want to see Haas. I was waiting for Saul Bernstein to walk in, okay? No, House of Cards is behind the scenes in Washington and between all the different personalities, and it sort of got bogged down. But we still watched all 13 episodes, and we were there from 10 a.m. until we left at 10 p.m., and in the middle, we saw 13 episodes. And in the middle of those 12 hours is my dilemma. Okay, so I'm one of those guys, and I don't know what it is. I guess it's just because I am so virile and so macho that I've got so much testosterone just bubbling in this body that I can sweat in 30-degree weather, okay? It doesn't take much for me to sweat. Always been that way. So if you remember, here in the Chicago area, last weekend, it was... It wasn't overly warm. It was like low 70s, upper 80s. But when we left in the morning, it was a little cool. There was like this cool breeze. And I didn't know what the day was going to be like. And I figured, well, we're going to be inside anyway. We're not watching House of Cards al fresco. We're going to be inside. And I'm sure my friend either has air conditioning or at the very least, he has a fan. So I was wearing not a full heavy hooded sweatshirt, but just a lighter one that, which is one of my favorites. It's a cool Chicago Blackhawks one, and got to support the team. I don't paint my face like Putty from Seinfeld, but got to support the team. So even though they're not in it this year, still got to support the team. So I've got my my nice Blackhawks hoodie on, and I go over there. Well, once I walk in, I could feel the humidity already in my friend's house, and I'm like, "Oh, this could be a problem for 12 hours." So as the day, the episodes were flying by. This show was great, the first several episodes. So time was flying, and we had the nice little munchies there, and you know, the beverages, and everything's going fine. But around 4 o'clock, I'm starting to get a little warm. And so, not overly warm, but a little warm. Okay, so I you know, sort of, you know, get like a newspaper, and I start, you know, fanning myself a little. And I asked my friend, you know, "Do you have a fan?" And he goes, "Well, let me see." So he doesn't have a fan. And I assume he had air conditioning, but if he did, it wasn't very powerful. Okay, so I mean, there were, or maybe I wasn't sitting at the right spot. I wasn't by a vent, but needless to say. So now as time goes on, and we're into like episode 7, I'm starting to, you know, get a little warm here. To the point where now, I mean, now it's just not warm. Now, you know, it's 7 or 8 o'clock, and now I'm like sweating. I mean, it's visible, okay? And so I'm now really, you know, fanning myself. So I said, here's my question. You know, what do you do? You know, what visitor or house guest etiquette is there? You know, I mean, because I'm at a point now where I'm like, okay, I have to take my shirt off because I can't stay here for 3 more hours. I'm going to have a heart attack. So, I mean, what do you do? Now, this friend of mine, I'm with my friend and my wife. Okay, so it's not like there's anybody else here, so who cares? But still, and this guy has been my friend for, you know, 35 years. Okay, so, I mean, there's nothing that needs to, you know, there's nothing to be embarrassed about, but still, you're a guest. You're still a guest. I don't care how long you've known somebody. You're still a guest in our house. So I'm weighing this in my head. So, you know, this hoodie that I have, you know, has a zipper. So I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna take this thing off, but let me just unzip it like halfway. You know, just, you know, open it a little and but do open it so my chest is exposed so air will hit it, because I'm really dying at this point. So, and I'm fanning, and and then the other part is too. Okay, so, and I guess I should admit, I really overdressed. It was a bad dress decision that I made at the beginning of the day. And I wound up fighting with it for the rest of the day and the evening. Because the other side of the coin is, okay, I've got this hat that I'm wearing today. And I wear it quite a bit. And I like this hat. It's like a little skull cap. It almost looks, I call it my semen hat. but if you, it sort of looks like a crusty, salty dog out on the, you know, those guys that wear the pea coats that are out by the docks. It's got that kind of a look. Now, other people have said it looks like a robber from like the 1950s or 1960s, because it's like this little skull cap that it's got like a little brim on it. But I like the way it fits. I like the way it looks. And I've always followed this quote that I read several years ago from the lead singer of Talking Heads, David Byrne. And David Byrne, who is always known for his clothes, said, "If you wear the same thing, people will always remember you." And I thought that was interesting, and it's true. If you think about Johnny Cash, he's the Man in Black. And there's certain people, if you think of Woody Allen, you think of the black glasses and, you know, the shirt with the sleeveless vest and the khakis. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. So I've actually, in my personal and life, I've sort of adhered to that. So I kind of wear the same kind of thing. I always wear dark. I really like Johnny Cash. In fact, the next time I get a cat, I was thinking of getting a black cat and just naming him Cash. I thought that would be cool. So I've worn black for many years, and I take a lot of heat from it, literally and figuratively, especially when it's hot out. Oh, you're always, I mean, you should see my hamper. It's just, it's all dark. It's all black. There's very little white or any color in it. Everything's black. So I wear dark clothes quite a bit. And I'll be honest with you, because that's who I am here too. I wear dark clothing because it ties into my story. Because I sweat a lot, it's easier if I wear dark clothing. It doesn't show up as much. I cannot wear a blue pastel shirt in the summer. Forget about it. I mean, there will be sweat marks in places you never even thought of, okay? So I know my limitations in terms of what I can wear. So I wear dark clothing for a variety of reasons. But anyway, I've got this little skull cap that I wear, and it's not wool. It doesn't look like Mike Nesmith's hat from the Monkees. It's not a wool cap, but it's not airy. There's no holes in it. And so that isn't helping because I'm wearing that hat along with my hoodie. So I've got like this hat on that's making me sweat, I'm sure. And then I've got this hoodie on that's making me sweat. So I finally do take the hat off. And then, you know, that's not embarrassing, but, you know, if you wear a hat for a few hours, you have hair hat. Or no, you have hat hair, right? Yeah, hat hair. Or you have hair hat. I think they have that at the hair club for men. They have a hat that actually just has the hair on it, and it comes in one piece. You can buy the hair separately, or for a reduced price, we'll give you the hat with the hair already sewn on, and then you can just put on one all at one time when you go out to the bars and watch, you know, some sporting event. You don't have to even think about what hat to wear and what hair to wear. You just grab the hat hair. I guarantee you they're going to steal that idea. So anyway, I've got hat hair. Yes, hat hair. So I've got hat hair, which is okay. Once again, there's not other people around. There's, you know, there's people that I know here. But still, your head is all smushed and the hair looks goofy. So I was a little, you know, hesitant to do that, but I did it anyway. Okay, so I take the hat off. So at least one piece of clothing initially comes off. But as I said, so now as the night goes on, the day goes on, I'm really hot. And so now I've unzipped the hoodie about halfway. I'm kind of like, you know, Elvis in the jumpsuit. That's how far down I go. I'm not at belly button. I'm about at mid chest, past the pecs. Okay, I'm past the pecs. If you're going to use the pecs as the equator. So, and I'm still fanning myself. So then he says, "Well, you know, there is a fan in the dining room." Above the dining room table. And I could see the television from the dining room table. It's not like a separate room. It's all kind of one room. It's in a condo. So I said, well, crank that fan. I need some ventilation here. So he cranks the fan. And I've always been a skeptic of the ceiling fan anyway. I don't know if it's more decoration or does it really provide any real relief. Well, I learned it does. Maybe you have to be dying of heat, but believe me, it felt amazing. So I'm now, unfortunately, you know, my wife and my friend are in the other room and they're watching. And so I'm not all that far away, but I'm not in the same room now. I'm sitting at the dining room table and I'm watching the television from a farther back and I'm underneath the fan and I've got the hoodie halfway open. Well, I'll tell you, I'm still warm. And even though this fan is cooking, I'm still warm. So I get a little bold. Because now I figure I'm not in the same room anymore. Once again, you know, etiquette. You know, I'm on the line here. I'm on the brink of saying, do you just take your shirt off at your friend's house? Is that right? I mean, it's not a locker room, and we're not outside. It's just I would think it's okay, but it's still a little weird. I'm granting you that. But on the other side of the coin is I'm sweating my butt off. So I have to throw away the Miss Manners rules. So I unzip it a little more, but I'm still leery of taking the whole thing off, because to me that's a huge commitment, taking off your shirt in another person's house. That's a big commitment. So I just do. I felt like a sexy siren on the screen or something. I took the hoodie and I pushed it down to the middle of my shoulder. So I was almost wearing like a strapless dress at this point. But oh my God, did that feel good? So at least now my shoulders are getting it, because this thing, as I said, this hoodie wasn't heavy, but it was heavy enough. I wear it in the winter, so it's heavy enough. Got to support the team. So I'm feeling very Hollywood starlet now, like, with my off the shoulder hoodie and this fan blowing. And it's feeling better. And I'm like, okay, well, this is good. This is as far as I go, and it's feeling good. And to the point where I've actually stopped sweating. And I'm like, okay, great. This worked. So I'm happy. So what do I do, of course? I put the hoodie back on. I zip it up, and I walk back into the room to socialize with others after my brief respite into cooler environs. Well, that lasts for about 10 minutes, and then I'm dying to eat again. So I go back to the dining room table. I was still under the fan, and now I go right now. I'm not even playing games. I go right to off the shoulder. I don't even pretend. I go from full blown, zippered up, covered, to unzipped, off the shoulder. I feel like I'm on the red carpet. Oh, here comes Elton Jim. Look at that beautiful Blackhawks off-the-shoulder hoodie he's wearing tonight. Who are you wearing, Jim? Oh, I'm wearing Reebok. It's an off-the-shoulder Blackhawks hoodie. It's the new fashion. So the thing is blowing. It feels better, but I'm still warm, and I make a decision. I believe we've got, what, there's 13 episodes? I believe in the middle of episode 11. I'm in the other room. I'm far away from other people. I make the decision. I'm going commando. I got to take it off. I got to go way off the shoulder. I'm taking it off. I'm dying here. So I don't tell anybody. I don't make a big scene. Everybody's engrossed. We're all watching the final episodes of this binge thing. I mean, we've been waiting for the ending here, so now we're in the final couple of episodes. So we're all engrossed. So I'm just being very low-key on this, and I sort of, lower the zipper a little and unzip it completely, and then I slowly drop the hoodie off my shoulders and let it drop to the ground. Oh, God, did that feel good. So, I mean, so nobody even knows this for about 20 minutes. So I'm just sitting at the dining room table underneath the fan watching House of Cards with no shirt on. And I'm like a pig in slop. I am as happy as a clam. My wife happens to turn and looks and goes, "Oh, geez, what are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm preventing not having a heart attack. That's what I'm doing." But I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. And I don't think my friend even looked. I think he had a sense of what was happening. And he didn't even look. And my wife was like, "Oh, what are you doing?" I'm like, "What am I supposed to do? I'm dying over here." So I did that until about midway through episode 13. And then I figured, okay, I can stand the last, half hour, because we're going to get ready to go. So then I put it back on, zipped up, went back out. Because then the other side of the coin is, too, he had leather couches. And you know, if it's warm, leather is not fun to sit on. And so it was just a warm, I was just a warm day. But I guess my biggest question that I would have to the audience here is, first of all, when do you throw away the etiquette for your own personal comfort? And I guess the bigger question is, even though I was in a different room, even though I wasn't in front of anybody, I was with people I knew, just three people, just, you know, me, three people total here, you know, very intimate friends. Was it still wrong? Because I still, there's a part of me, this has been like 5 days later, and there's a part of me that's still going, should I have taken my shirt off? Was that really just boorish? I was so uncomfortable that I felt I had to do it. But then in retrospect, I'm like, but, you know, I didn't parade around. I wasn't walking around. I wasn't like, you know, look at me. I was in the corner in another room far away. And, oh, feeling oh so good with that fan blowing on me. And I also learned a lesson that, you know, you really do have to dress. I mean, I'm it's funny that at this point in my life, I'm learning this lesson. Because I have been accused of not dressing appropriately for occasions, especially weather-related occasions. Because as I said, I really feel comfortable in certain kinds of clothes. And so, yeah, I'll go to a picnic in the summer, and I'll have something black on. Everybody's like, why are you wearing black? Everybody's got, you know, pastels, or they've got, you know, different, you know, patterns, or they've got flannel or whatever, you know, black and white or different colors. And, you know, now the big thing is like, you know, the shirt with the small checks. That's the big shirt now. And I'll come in. The one thing about me is if you look at pictures of me throughout the years, I'm always wearing the same thing. And they always said that, like, I think they said that Albert Einstein, like, had five suits and they were all the same. So I don't know what I'm trying to prove here, but I'm at the end of the day, I'm trying to prove from a comfort standpoint and from an embarrassment standpoint, I don't want to be pitted out on any of these shirts. So I tend to wear dark shirts to cover that up. And I also tend to wear dark clothes because I just sort of like the look. And I like my little skull cap, okay? I don't care if it's made of wool or whatever it's made of. I like it. And I will wear it in the summer, and I will probably sweat. But as I said, I'm a slave to fashion and image. But I don't know. Was I wrong? Should I have just kept that thing on? Or was it okay that I took it off and just let it all hang out so I can cool off? Because it was really, really uncomfortable. And I don't think my friend ever saw it. And I don't care if he did or not. But it felt, I have to say, it felt weird sitting at a dining room table with no shirt under a ceiling fan. If there was a camera there, it would have been a very interesting picture. But please, let me know. Go to my Facebook page, Jim Turano, Turano, and let me know if my sweating should have taken precedence over some kind of manners and decorum. And Elton Jim Turano back here on Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic from the end of the web to your screen. And if you don't understand that, Google it. It's a takeoff on Elton John's album, Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy. And there's a lyric at the end of that song, and it's actually a part of the album that says, from the end of the world to your town. But we're not at the end of the world. We're on the end of the web, and we're coming to your screen on this podcast every week, posted here at WGNplus.com. So I hope you will come around every Monday or Tuesday. Every Monday we've been pretty good up to this point on getting them posted on Monday. So I hope you'll visit WGN Plus every Monday and look just in the search area, just type Elton Jim and we'll certainly pop up. And hopefully in the coming weeks, I'll actually have my own landing page with the very cool Captain Podtastic logo, which I've had made up, which I'm really proud of, too. So, and then there, hopefully on that page, in addition to the new content that we do every week, there will also be some greatest bits, if you will, from some of the shows that I've been doing here at WGN on the radio side, filling in over the last few months, and maybe you haven't had a chance to hear any of those. We've had some funny times that I think are worth sharing, so hopefully those audio files will be up there for you to enjoy as well. And those are small little snippets. Those won't be our things. Those are small 3, 4, 5 minute little segments or bits from bigger shows. But right now, we are doing the hour-long podcast here. And as I've done up to this point, one of my favorite people to talk about goings-on in the entertainment world, especially the pop culture world, is my friend Mick Kaler. Are you there, Mick?
Yeah, I'm here, bud.
Hey, there he is. We are going to do another segment, Mick, of what?
Pop Culture Club.
What is it called?
Pop Culture Club.
Now, for those new to the podcast or the Elton Jim show, because we also do this segment when I fill in quite often. Do you understand the title of the segment, Mick?
Oh, I'm hip to it, babe.
What is it?
It's about talking about pop culture events, and you're playing Culture Club in the background.
Well, it's not just that I'm playing Culture Club in the background. It's that we, you and I, and the listeners are in a pop culture club.
Yes, we are in a club. It's not a clan, and we're not the Scientologists.
So
it's a club.
It's this kind of club feeling, like it's just this intimate place where the cool people who know the real side of pop culture discuss.
It's the place to be.
It is the place. It's the place to be. It's the PTB, if you will.
There you go.
And I play the music as a subtle hint,
right,
of the Culture Club. But you, Mick, you must know that it's the music doesn't make the Culture Club. It helps to enhance it.
That's right. It dresses it up. It's kind of like Christmas lights.
Exactly. And Mick, you are a charter member. You have been the constant in the Pop Culture Club.
That's right. Always here.
And for those, as I've said many times, you can not only, you've listened to Mick if you've listened to me, but at the same time, you can also enjoy some of his own creative efforts on the WGN TV Morning News every morning. I would say what? Would you say once a week they play one of your parody songs?
Yeah, about once every week, week and a half. We've got a new one on The Bachelorette that they're hopefully going to give a spin to soon. So we've always got me and my buddy Al Flash. We put these little tunes and videos together, and we pop up from time to time, yeah.
So this is the thing. You know, you say, well, why, you know, why are you and Mick, you know, why are you the ones to be in the Pop Culture Club? Well, clearly, if Mick is going to be writing parody songs about stuff in the pop culture, who better than to have their finger on the pulse? Because like for instance, I've never watched an episode of The Bachelor. I mean, I don't know how you now. I don't know if you watched it just to get some fodder for your song, or do you watch that?
It's my guilty pleasure.
Really? It is, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, seriously. The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Bill Maher always talks about how he reads the tabloids every week, you know, Us, and The Star, and The Enquirer, and that's his guilty pleasure. Mine is The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. I love it just because it is so bad.
All right, so you're not watching that, for instance, just because it's your job,
and you have to
watch it because it's popular and it would be good to write a parody song about it.
Yeah, and I just love the idiocy, and you could just tell how the producers put everybody up to things, and it's just great. I love it.
Yeah. But I don't know if you got a chance to hear the other segment, maybe the tail end of it, if you heard of it. Did you hear that at all?
I heard a little bit about the binge watching, and you were naked.
Yeah, so now, do you think that I... Was it wrong for me to take my shirt off?
Well, you got to remind me of that Seinfeld episode where George comes out of the bathroom still tucking his shirt in because he says when he uses the men's room, he takes all his clothes off. And I'm
thinking
about that.
Yeah, for some reason he takes his shirt off when he goes to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he walks out Wow, that remember those things in the 90s where you would like we'd squint your eyes and you'd see another picture?
Yeah, the geometric pattern.
Yeah, he's like, wow, those pictures in there, and then he's got no shirt on. And then there's the other episode too where when Susan dies, he says he would like to just sit at home with no shirt on with a big hunk of cheese.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Oh, there you go. And then the Rosses come over, and he is with just shorts on.
Yeah.
Eating a big hunk of cheese. That's why I love George. But so what do you think? Should I have done that?
You gotta do what makes you feel comfortable. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, I had to.
Yeah.
I, like I said, I went initially. It was almost like my own personal striptease.
Right.
I should have had a pole there. Because I started by just unzipping by my cleavage.
Yeah.
And then that wasn't really providing as much, you know, satisfaction. So then I went for the off the shoulder. And I felt really sexy. And then I said, you know what? Let them throw the dollars at me. I'm going full blown here.
Well, and again, you know, your wife, Jamie, you know, she was kind of surprised by it. If she complained, you could have said, hey, I could drop my pants any second.
Yeah, I didn't go full commando.
Right.
But, oh, my gosh, if there was a – I was tempted to just, like, you know, go in his tub and run some cool water. That's how warm I was. But I don't know if there's an etiquette. If you're a guest, whether it's a good friend or not, do you – how? Yeah, I guess the key question is how much do you want – are you allowed to feel like you're at home?
Yeah, well, like I said, you have to do what's comfortable. You don't want to be like Albert Brooks in broadcast news where you're just, people are calling in asking if you're having a heart attack.
That's how I felt. Jamie's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying not to have a heart attack over here. That's what I'm doing. But anyway, that's not pop culture. That's the living hell that I'm in every day.
Yeah.
But we were talking about some topics for the Pop Culture Club. And one that jumped out that you had noticed, and I thought it was good. This was just in the news recently. What was going on with Adele?
Oh, Adele, the singer, she was in Italy performing a concert, and somebody close to the stage was holding up their cell phone camera taking video. And Adele just kind of, I think between songs, just kind of shut down for a couple seconds and politely asked the person to put the camera away. And Adele basically said, you know, we're living in real time here. I feel like you're making a DVD. Why don't you just enjoy the music and the show just as it is, you know, live? And so the person did that. They put their camera away.
And when I actually read, you told me about this and I found the story. Apparently, you said this was in Italy. This person had a tripod.
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't just holding up their cell phone.
Right.
I mean, they were. I don't know if they had a three camera shoot, but clearly this was this person was probably in the front, and that was probably even more of a distraction then. If you've got this woman with a tripod aiming at you, like she said, hey, this isn't a DVD, and I'll tell you, it was so interesting that when you mentioned this story because. You know, when I go to concerts, and we both have gone to concerts, you know, throughout our lives, but wow, is it a different experience now?
Totally different. With the cell phone cameras and the lighting on them and the glow that you see, people sitting 5-6 rows away and closer, instead of just watching the show and seeing Bruce Springsteen right in front of them or Elton John or Tina Turner or whoever it is, they're taking video that they're going to post up on YouTube or whatever, and I'm like, you've got the live experience right here. Why are you watching this through a video?
It's so funny because, I mean, I hate to sound, you know, bourgeoisie, but I mean, I've been to so many concerts at this point that if I'm not up close, I really can't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. If I'm not close and feel, you know, I can feel the power of what's happening on that stage, I feel like I could be home. Mm-hmm. And listening to a record. So I like to sit up close. And, you know, before, in the olden, in my day, we didn't have any of these cell phones with video cameras. And before, you used to fear when you got there early, you would sit in your chair and you would look and hope to God that nobody 6'7".
With a big big afro.
With a big afro at that point.
Or a big hat.
Yeah. Would sit in front of you.
Right.
Because you're like, you know, because even though you're in the front, in the very front, you know, there's still, when people stand up, they can still block your view. The most stages aren't 17 feet high.
Yeah, and also some people like to stand on the chair.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah, so you always hoped that you would have, you know, if it was a couple that was going to sit in front of you, you hoped that the 5'3" girlfriend was sitting in front of you.
Yeah, exactly.
So you could easily see over her head. Well, today, because of this, and I would even argue with your point, I don't even think half the people who are recording these concerts when they're there on their iPhones or their smartphones, I don't even think they're posting them.
Well, I
bet you that stuff is just sitting in those phones.
Well, if they're not posting it to YouTube, they're posting it on Facebook, because I have lots of Facebook friends that will show some little clips, but they're not always that close to the stage. Or they just keep it in their phone, and then when they're at a party and someone's talking about the Rolling Stones,
yeah,
they're like,
I guess.
Oh, yeah, look at this. Mick Jagger's like 10 rows away from me. Isn't
okay,
cool?
But my point is, even if you, okay, if that's the usage,
yeah,
then that's 5 minutes worth of footage.
Exactly.
You don't need 3 hours worth, and that's now the thing. You don't even have now. It doesn't matter if an NBA basketball player is sitting in front of you, or a 5'3" woman is sitting in front of you, because everybody's arms are extended, both arms now
holding up their cameras,
and you have to now look through the arm. It's almost like looking through a window.
Yeah,
because you got to look through the arm, the space between the head and the arm on either side, and it's
right.
almost every song.
Well, here's the other funny part about that, Jim, because I've seen enough of those videos, and I've been enough shows where I've seen the same thing you have. And what's weird is, remember years ago where there was always that policy that you couldn't take pictures?
Oh yeah, I love when they say no cameras, no recording devices,
or no video, or whatever. And these people are just blatantly, here we go. You know, I'm in the second row center, and here's, whoever it is singing live. Bob Seger's rocking out, and I've got my camera.
I mean, and then, you know what? That's still on. That's still on the concert ticket.
Right, but it's like, what are you going to do? Police it and knock out, the first five rows because they're all holding up their cell phones.
Well, everybody does. I mean, it's not even the first five rows. As you said, there's people up sitting in the rafters who still take pictures and get the audio as well as the picture, and they, like you said, they post it up. And I'll have to tell you, one of the things that, and I'm not the first to point this out, I'm sure you've noticed it as well, but it still is kind of an interesting occurrence. Once again, in my day, we didn't have these illuminated devices in our pockets. And so when you were coming to the encores, or there was like a special song that like was a deep song, everybody, because of the pot smoking generation that basically ushered in the rock concert, everybody had a lighter.
Yeah, they were all lighting lighters, and the whole place would get lit up.
Yeah, so everybody would light. That was kind of the way for the people to come out, because everyone had a lighter. That's what they had. That was their illuminating device. And even for instance, at an Elton John concert, obviously Candle in the Wind, everybody would light their lighter. But at any concert, especially a hard rock concert, when they pulled out their big power ballad, they would be. Well, now it's so funny because all you see is, are 20,000 seats of illuminated cell phones, which people are holding up.
Right, you see the glowing screens.
Yeah, and I saw Bruce Springsteen here in Chicago back in January, and it was right after Glenn Frey of the Eagles passed away, and he did a version of Take It Easy, and the whole arena was just lit up with the cell phones.
Yeah.
Instead of the lighters. So, I mean, there is something cool about it, but I'll tell you, I understand. Here's the thing from my standpoint, when I go to a concert, and as she said, hey, I'm real.
Yeah, this is happening in real time.
Yeah, and so much of it is ironic when you think about it. Think about the average person that's really into that cell phone. They are experiencing life through the screen.
Yeah, and again, I have such great memories of being close to the stage, whether it was The Who or Springsteen or the Rolling Stones, and even other acts playing in smaller clubs, the Bodines, you name it. I've seen all, Chris Isaak, and I've been close to the stage, and I'm like, I'll just never forget that. That's burned in my brain. I don't need a video camera to take a clip of that.
Not only that, but there is the opportunity to make contact mm-hmm. with the performer.
Yeah.
And everybody would always make fun. I would say, oh, you know, I was sitting by the front and, oh, you know, he saw me or she saw me. And everybody, oh, yeah, right. There's 20,000 people there and they saw you. But you know, when you sit up that close, you can make eye contact and you can make a connection even for a second.
Absolutely.
And if you're really a fan of somebody, I mean, that's pretty cool. Now, Mick, you were witness to this. So I will offer this to the court. 1984, the then Rosemont Horizon, an Elton Jim, who was not Elton Jim at the time, just regular Jim, and a Mick Kaler go to see Elton John.
And we're like four or five rows away in the middle.
Four or five rows in the middle. And, of course, at that time, Elton was wearing the straw hat boater kind
right.
of hat. As his onstage look. So what was I wearing to the concert, Mick?
Straw hat.
Okay, yes. It may have looked silly. Except, I'm not even going to say, I'm going to let you jog back into your memory.
Wait.
Let me set it up. What happened at the very end of the show when the lights were up? What happened?
The band pointed, they nudged to Elton, and they pointed at you with your straw hat, and Elton was right there looking right at you.
And he tipped his hat.
Yep, bowed and tipped his
hat. He took his hat off and tipped it to me, and that really happened.
Yeah.
He wasn't tipping anyone else. And let's not forget, at that time, Elton was going through some really bad hair transplants.
Yeah.
And by the end of the
showing the plug.
Yeah, and by the end of the concert, that's why he was wearing the hats all the time in the 80s.
Yeah.
And by the end of the concert, his hair was sweaty and stringy.
All matted down.
And especially over the top, it was like the worst comb over you've ever seen, and just add, perspiration to it. So for him to take that hat off from a vanity standpoint couldn't have been easy.
Exactly. You had that connection.
So there you go. Thank you very much. So, I mean, I can understand what Adele is saying, because I can only imagine now when you are a performer up there and you are looking to feed off the crowd.
And you don't want the crowd being a bunch of videographers saying, okay, I'm emotionalist because I got to hold the camera still.
Exactly.
I can't rock, I can't bop, I can't sing.
I mean, she nailed it so, I mean, I'm sure every performer has thought about this, but she, mm-hmm. To actually stop in the performance and actually say, it's like, hey, I'm here. You can go home and watch a DVD.
Yeah.
You can go listen, but I'm here. We're here. Together in this moment, that's what always has appealed to me about going to so many concerts. Is I don't care how many times you listen to a record, when you see that person, who you admire and you like that music, and they're playing that live, you can't beat that.
Exactly. And again, the crowd feeds off that. And like you said, the artists feed off the crowd. I mean, I've been to shows where the artist will say, hey, this was a great time tonight. And you can tell sometimes they really do mean it, because you can just see how they're feeding off the fans. And you don't see that if you've got people, being videographers in the first 10 rows with their cell phone cameras.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was last summer, the Pope came to the United States and there was some kind of a big event that was children oriented.
The parade they had in Philly.
Yeah, it was in Philadelphia, and so they were showing, footage from this. And so there's the Pope making his way through this throng of little kids, and they're all waving their hands, and they're all trying to shake his hand and stuff. And as the Pope is walking past this one kid, and they zoom in on it because it was just part of the scene. they're getting a shot of the Pope, and then there's this kid in the picture, and the Pope is walking right past him. Now, here's a situation where, you know, hey, you know what? Performers regularly go out on tour. It's not impossible to see somebody. But the odds of being up close within 5 inches of the Pope, that's not easy.
And it's not going to happen again.
Yeah, it's not going to happen again, and it's not easy for it to happen even once. And so here's the Pope, right next to this kid. And instead of him, this kid, looking at the Pope, and as we're talking about here, making a moment, making a personal connection, making a personal contact with the Pope, looking in his eyes, as you said, you know, making a memory that will burn into your mind and you will carry that forever. And those are the best memories. He was looking at the Pope through his cells, through his screen.
Yeah, it's like, come on, smile over here.
He wasn't even doing that. He was just following him, and he was looking in the screen, and then the Pope walked by him, and I'm like, that kid just blew a moment in his life.
Well, and the other funny part about that is, think of all the cameras and the coverage that was going on there. That kid didn't have to pull out that camera. He could just be right there and waving and trying to shake a hand and doing whatever.
Well,
and he would be able to see that on TV and go, hey, I was right there where that was happening.
Well, once again, as I said, I talk about this thing with Elton and the tipping of the hat. That happened 30-some years ago, and you and I can still close our eyes, and I can remember the whole thing. I could see him standing next to the white piano. He had the black and white tuxedo jacket on, and he tipped his hat. I could see it as clear as day. I don't need a picture.
Right.
I don't need a picture. I could see it right there.
Well, it's funny. There's a Brad Paisley song from years ago, and it's called Who Needs Pictures? And the chorus is, who needs pictures with a memory like mine? And he's remembering about an old girlfriend, and he finds this old camera with film in it. And he's like, I don't need to develop these pictures. I remember her just fine the way it was.
Well, I remember I was during when Elton toured with Billy Joel, I went to see those concerts, and I was right up at the front. And so Billy Joel was doing his set. And I know Billy Joel's music just as well, too. I'm a big Billy Joel fan. And so I'm singing all his songs throughout the whole concert. And he must have noticed me because he did, it's still rock and roll to me.
Yeah.
And so there's a point there at the very end, you know, the last line is, you know, it's still rock and roll to me. Dun, dun, dun. That's how the song ends. Well, in concert, right before that line, he will take the microphone stand and throw it into the crowd and let someone sing it. But he's got to find somebody who knows.
Yeah, who's hip to it, who's following along.
Who knows the moment and knows the words and everything else. So I'm sitting there with my godson, and we're right in the front there, and I'm singing along the whole song, and right away, at that moment, the mic comes right in front of me. And boom, I nail it. Crowd goes wild. But my point is, once again, there's a moment.
Yep.
When that microphone came down, what was I supposed to do? Pull out my cell phone and take a picture of the microphone?
Or you singing into it. Hang
yeah.
on a second. Hey. Let me get the right angle.
Wait.
Here. Let me pull my arm out.
Yeah, wait, Billy. I got to do a selfie of me singing with the microphone. Could you tell the band to do that again?
Yeah, and the lighting's not right. Can you put up a couple
yeah.
of my lights, please?
You go for it. You experience life.
That's it.
Oh, so I'll tell you, I don't know. I give Adele credit for saying that, but to be honest with you, I don't think it's going to change anything.
I don't think it is either. There have been some country artists that have spoken out at some shows at some more intimate theaters and clubs, and they're like, we're in this small room. Why do you have to do this? And if people are going to still film, they're going to film, but it's like, live in real time. That's my suggestion. I think yours too, Jim.
Yeah.
Live in real time and experience it and let it burn in your memory.
Yeah, make a memory. You don't have to catalog everything.
Yeah.
I can remember a really good cheeseburger. I don't need a picture of it. Before I talk about the next topic here with Mick Kaler on Pop Culture Club, I thought it'd be interesting to play this little bit.
Bozo?
No.
B-O-Z-O.
Sorry.
You've never heard of Bozo the Clown?
No.
How could you not know who Bozo the Clown is?
I don't know. I just don't.
How can you call yourself a clown and not know who Bozo is?
Hey, man. What are you hassling me for? This is just a gig. It's not my life. I don't know who Bozo is. What, is he a clown?
Is he a clown? What, are you kidding me?
Well, what is he?
Yes, he's a clown.
All right, so what's the big deal? There's millions of clowns.
All right, just forget it.
Forget me? For you should forget it. You're living in the past, man. You hung up on some clown from the 60s, man.
All right. Very good, very good. All right, go fold your little balloon animals, Eric. Eric.
From Seinfeld, George and John Favreau.
John Favreau, yeah. One of like a very early, he wasn't in Swingers. He wasn't obviously directing Iron Man. And he's all made up in clown makeup. So you wouldn't
still recognize that voice.
Yeah. You're hung up on a clown from the 60s, man.
I don't know who he is, all right?
What, is he a clown?
So we're talking about Bozo.
Well, here's the Bozo. Yeah, I wanted to play that because here in Chicago, WGN Television, Chicago's very own, has been a staple in local programming since its inception. And anybody who is born and raised in the Chicago area will remember names like Ray Rayner and Frazier Thomas and Mr.
Bob Bell
and Mr. Ned and Cookie the Clown and Andy Starr and all these especially children's shows that were produced in the 60s and 70s and into the 80s and 90s, even though their heydays were in the 60s and 70s. And over the last several years, WGN has been a satellite for the CW network. So in prime time, from 7 until 9, they've run the CW network programming. And, well, I think on Saturdays and probably even maybe Sundays, but certainly Saturdays they would have children's programming from the CW network programming. Well, they just announced that WGN now has announced that after the last 10 or 15 years, whatever it's been, they are cutting that affiliation. They're going to go back to being solely independent, and they will be responsible for all of their programming. So
no more CW shows.
Yeah, no more CW. And so right away, that's what I love about Chicago. So right away, when they say, WGN can do its own programming, when do they bring it back, Bozo?
Yeah, that's been the big talk online and in the papers and everything, yeah.
Now, Bozo the Clown, there's no doubt that Chicago, every city, most big cities around the country, all had their own Bozo.
Yeah.
And because WGN was such a major station and it went on the cable, it did go. That's how Harry Carey became so popular in the 80s. WGN was a superstation and was carried around the country. So even though it was aimed at Chicago viewers, its programming was all around the country. And so Bozo, especially in the 80s, became a big deal. But if you were in Chicago, you had to be on Bozo Circus, or you had to watch Bozo Circus at noon.
Exactly.
So, but here's my thing. Who's going to watch Bozo?
Well, it's certainly not going to be little kids.
No. I mean, the little kids today are not going to watch Bozo the Clown. There's no way. It was a slapsticky show. It had plate spinners and jugglers. It had, you know, it was fun because it was the only thing that was on. But today's kids are way too sophisticated. Their attention spans are shorter. There is no way that Bozo would succeed, right?
Exactly. It wouldn't happen. So then if you're going to gear it towards adults, is this going to be like Pee-wee's Playhouse?
Yeah, and then when do you put it on then?
Yeah,
do you make it a primetime show so adults would watch it, or do you put it on Saturday mornings, but kids aren't going to watch it? I can't believe that anybody at WGN Television is even thinking about bringing Bozo back. Because sadly, Bozo died a very kind of a sad. The show really went down in popularity, and it just kind of
dwindled in time.
Yeah,
and how many days a week it was on?
And it really felt out of date. And even though Bozo is an icon and will always be associated with WGN Television here in Chicago, I can't believe that they would bring Bozo back.
I don't think it's going to happen, just because, like you said, the logistics and the appeal for little kids who can watch things on their cell phones or their iPads or whatever. And again, like you said, much more sophisticated type of entertainment. Even an animal act. It's like nowadays kids are used to watching, you know, a bear tear off a guy's head, you know, on a video.
Yeah, dude, to watch a little dog, to watch a poodle on its hind leg smoke a cigarette. It doesn't really cut it today in the 2016s.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just don't see.
In spite of all that, Jim, just so you know, I got 6 buckets out and I'm practicing for the grand
just in case.
Game. I got the little ping pong balls, and I'm like, you know, maybe I can get in. I mean, it might be about a 5-year wait for tickets to get into the new.
Well, I don't know what would happen to WGN's own Dean Richards. He would have to re-edit his Bozo, Ray, Gar
and Ray,
Laverne and Shirley, or whatever the heck that show is he plays every year.
Yeah, it would have to be changed. It'd have to be like, guess what? It's ongoing.
Yeah.
Bozo's back.
Well, all I can say is I love Bozo. I saw Bozo. I even interviewed Bozo and Cookie one time about 20 years ago. So I'm fully embraced in the Bozo mystique and the Bozo legacy. But I also have to say, leave Bozo where he's at. Leave him as a memory. Do not bring him back.
And don't live in the past, man, okay? You're living on some clown from the 60s.
You're talking about some clown from the 60s, man! Well, once again, Mick, we had a great time on the Pop Culture Club. You have definitely earned your charter membership.
Well, I hope so. I hope I'm still in good standing. I'm paying my dues. So.
Very good. Well, thanks, Mick. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, pal. Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right. That's Mick Kaler. And so that brings us to the end of another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you will continue to click on at WGN Plus every Monday to hear the latest of what's going on as we once again and every week attempt to jam 2 pounds of radio baloney into a 1-pound bag. I'm Jim Toronto, Elton Jim Toronto. You have been listening to the Captain Podtastic podcast from the end of the web to your screen.